Good morning. Welcome to our Savior Lutheran Church on the second Sunday of Easter, Sunday, April 12, 2026. Our radio broadcast at 11 a.m. on the news stations 1450 a.m. and 105.5 FM. I am Judy Quater. I will be assisting Reverend Dr. Joseph Bonick today with the readings. Our recording is by Jack DeTerry, and we have Denver DeTerry on sound, and the very talented Jennifer Hudson. In today's gospel, the risen Christ appears to the disciples and offers them the gift of peace. Even amid doubts and questions, we experience the resurrection in our Sunday gathering around word and meal and in our everyday lives. Throughout the coming Sundays of Easter, the first two readings will be from the Acts of the Apostles and the first letter of Peter. Even as the early Christians proclaimed the resurrection, we rejoice in the new birth and living hope we receive in baptism. Our gathering hymn is the Joyful Easter Tide.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Let us confess our sin before God, who removes our guilt and blots out all offenses. Amen. Gracious God, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love. We have all sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Forgive us for our misplaced desires. Forgive us for our blindness to your will. Forgive us for our shortcomings and failures in living out your commands. We confess all our sins, those we wish to remember as well as those we have forgotten. Inspire and strengthen us by your Holy Scripture, your sacraments, and your church across the entire world. May we never hesitate to turn to you in repentance. God's steadfast love, grace, and forgiveness abound. Through faith, the free gift of God, you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Spirit of the one who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and pours God's love into your hearts and gives you life and peace. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Let us give thanks for the gifts of baptism. Merciful God, you are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. You lead us beside still waters. We thank you for the waters of creation, morning dew, gentle rain, roaring waves. We thank you for the waters that nourish us. Blessed are you. Jesus Christ, you are the faithful witness who accompanies us on our journeys. We give you thanks for your life-giving death and resurrection. We praise you for joining us in joy and sorrow. Blessed are you.
You guide us to springs of the water of life.
Holy Spirit, you anoint our head with oil and our cup overflows. Break down barriers that divide us. Fill us with the breath of peace. Blessed are you.
You guide us to springs of the water of life.
Holy One, we thank you for the gifts and grace of baptism and for making us a new creation. We join with saints and angels, giving you honor and praise now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith in you and receive the faithfulness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, various verses. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let my Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke to the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 16, the antiphon. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods. Never take their names up on my lips. In your presence there is fullness of joy. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In presence there is fullness of joy. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices, and my body also shall rest in hope. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And our hymn of praise today is, Come, You Faithful, Raise the Strain.
Thank you.
Our second reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe. Hallelujah. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. It is the Father who has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Amen. What a day, what a few weeks it was for the disciples. Memorable, to say the very least. Monumental, to say the very least. An incredible time. Something that not only did they remember, but they passed it on for us to remember as well, as if we were there, so that we might believe in God and understand Jesus was sent, the Messiah of the world. Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Our gracious God, we look to you and we're thankful. Thankful for the grace and love and joy that you give us, even in the midst of sadness and difficulty. As we look to you and praise your name and look for guidance, even forgiveness, we are aware that you love us and that you seek to be with us so that we may have indeed a relationship with you through Jesus. Guide us now as we reflect upon these times, that indeed you may be honored in every way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, this past week has been a memorable week in a lot of ways. There's always incredible things happening in our world, to say the least. But what really caught my attention was the moonshot. And it brought my memory to the first moon walk. Maybe you were there. Maybe you saw it on TV. Maybe you remember it. But it was one of the most memorable things that I have ever experienced in my life. It's like those kinds of things, like Pearl Harbor, December 7th, or the assassination of President Kennedy in 63, or going on and on through many different major events in the world. I mean, these are worldwide events and universe and eternal kinds of events that are there. And indeed, the moon walk in 1969, that is July 20th, 1969, in Eastern Standard Time, it was in the evening, I believe, came to reality. It had been in the making for decades, as it were. It was a big deal. And that year, too, as I reminisce for a bit, I was with a group called The Second Destiny. And we've shared that with you before. And my wife, Betty, was in the group. There were 17 young people, and we were doggone good, if I can say that. And what we did, essentially, was through outreach, played music that caught the attention of the people of the time, the young people. That it was a ministry focused on teenagers and young adults. And it was very successful. In one summer, we covered 11,000 miles. General Motors was impressed with us and gave us 3 Chevrolet Estate station wagons, if you remember what those are. Station wagons aren't necessarily in vogue anymore. But these were gorgeous cars that GM gave us. And so we were very thankful for that. And it kept us busy, to say the least. But nevertheless, we were in Petoskey, Michigan on July 20th. Now, Petoskey wasn't the most fruitful of crowds. In fact, at times we had more people in the band and singing than what we had in the crowd. But that was okay because we were there to minister to folk, but Petoskey was a special place. And that's where we were when we were going to see the moonwalk. In fact, what happened is the minister who had set us up, as it were, had a morning, this was on a Sunday, a morning, an afternoon, and an evening time for concert. We talked him out of the evening time because we didn't want to have more people in the band than in the congregation. But what we did do was be able to sit in that motel room where we were at, all 17 of us, and watched on TV. Again, that's more than 50 years ago. We watched somebody jump out of a capsule and land on the moon. What an event. You had to be there in order to somehow understand the impact that it was. It was incredible. And it was more than just an event for our country. It was an event for the world. Because we weren't the only ones watching on TV. And by the way, the biggest screen, I think, in those days was like 29 inches. That was a big screen TV. And so the world was captivated on a 29-inch TV. And we watched them as Armstrong said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It was a monumental event. Now, that's not the end of the story. You think it was. You'd think that'd be enough. But that wasn't the only point of the miracle that was happening of this moonshot. Because when they came back, they were given a ticker tape parade on the 13th of August that was beside none. We happened to be in Chicago, our musical group. Again, we were interacting here with our moon buddies. But what was going on was that we were cutting a record. And that was a three-day event just to get a record recorded. And however, it was in Chicago. And Chicago was where they had one of the three ticker tape parades in the country. We were not far off of Michigan Avenue. We were downtown Chicago taping. And we went over to Michigan Avenue. And folk, I've never seen so many people. Now, I got this figure off the internet. They said there were 2 million there, so you got to believe it, in Chicago. Now, New York, interestingly enough, they gave a parade in New York in the morning, Chicago in the afternoon, and they were in Los Angeles in the evening. And all of that was taking place. And I've never seen so many people. I was a country boy. I grew up in North Lakeport, Michigan. You didn't see 2 million people very often. But that we saw. We asked to be excused from taping so we could go see what was going on. The crowd was magnificent. Millions of people greeted these folk on the way back. The moonwalk was incredible. And somehow, we were there. We were there to experience that. Well, the resurrection event wasn't received with so much popularity. A handful of people received Jesus. When the greatest event ever in the universes occurred with the resurrection of Christ, there was just a handful of disciples who were there. Must have been disconcerting to them in some respects. Jesus' crowds had gone. And they were not easily brought back. They just kind of wandered. And you know, it must have been a bit disappointing because they were afraid. And they were hiding out. They weren't parading the streets. They were hiding out in a home. Maybe it was the same home where the Last Supper was served. I don't know. You can bring that as conjecture. But Jesus appears in the midst of them. Doors shut, windows shut, locked, barricaded in for fear that somehow the Jews were going to come and get them, according to John. They were afraid. And, you know, not only were they afraid of the religious leaders and whatever, and maybe even of the Roman authorities, but beyond that, they maybe were afraid what Jesus would do, how they may have offended their Lord, how they may have stepped outside of things and didn't really stay faithful to Jesus. It was a concern. I'm sure it was. But what does Jesus do? He calms their fears. He loves them and says, Peace be with you. Peace I leave you. He starts out. That's not a conclusion. That is the very beginning of the conversation. Without them saying, "We're sorry, Lord, we're sorry that we didn't do what we were supposed to do and that we failed you," instead of them going through some kind of confessional. Jesus doesn't do that, doesn't look for that. He just says, "Peace to you." He takes the first step, he moves in, he gives them an opportunity to be able to feel his goodness and love. And he says it three times in that section of Scripture. And then what is most unbelievable and would be especially unbelievable to the Jews at that particular time is that now Jesus is going to fulfill the promise of the 14th chapter of John, where he says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life." And that would be just unthinkable, because you weren't even supposed to speak the name of God in the Jewish temples or synagogue. You weren't even supposed to do that. Let alone receive the Spirit in your life, which was supposed to be reserved for kings and messiahs, not for the common people. And Jesus breathes on them life. They didn't deserve it. They'd be the first to tell you that. And how could we honor God if we're going outside the bounds of so much tradition and everything? Jesus appears to a handful of disciples in the greatest event ever. But there's one missing. Inasmuch as Jesus appears amongst his disciples in what I'm going to call the upper room, there is one thing missing. And this is what I marvel at with regard to who Jesus is, what Jesus does. He waits and goes after Thomas. He's not going to leave Thomas behind. Regardless of where the disciples are going to go at this juncture, the fact of the matter is, Thomas is going to go with him, because Jesus is going to wait for him to come and appear. Now that to me is just overwhelmingly important. There might have been millions of people in Chicago. There might have been millions and thousands of people in Jerusalem. But Jesus is worried about one person, one individual, and somebody who was accused of doubting him. Actually, reading about Thomas, we find that he was a very brave man. Nevertheless, Jesus goes after the one. I don't know if we can emphasize that enough in our faith. Jesus going after the one person. Everybody is important, and nobody is going to be left behind. Jesus is going to come. He's going to find us. He's going to love us and invite us to be with him. No one is to be left behind. Don't ask me exactly how he does it. But our scripture is so pointed in that direction. And the proof of the pudding is in the reception of the Holy Spirit. I like how John handles what we call the Pentecost. A little bit different than John, than Luke in Acts. But nevertheless, Jesus is personal and in those ways breathes the breath of life, which is a breath that we see even in the time of creation. Well, the number didn't stay at just a few or even a couple of million, because eventually God's love becomes so importantly present that we could probably talk about 2 billion now who are Christian because of what these people did, because of what Jesus did. What an exciting, exciting time in Christianity. What a wonderful event. What a wonderful thing that God has given us. The resurrection indeed. But the resurrection was a means to an end in order to connect with God's children and those he loves. As we celebrate the resurrection, let us celebrate the relationship we have with our Lord and follow him wherever he goes. Amen. Our hymn of the day. He is alive.
Thank you.
Christ is alive. Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world. And now let us pray for the needs of all creation.
Almighty God, you give life to the dead and call into existence things that do not exist. Breathe your spirit among us, that our faith may be renewed day by day. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Maker of heaven and earth, your mercies are new every morning. Open us to the wonders of creation, from the beauty of flowers to the complexity of subatomic particles. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God of peace, in every place where conflict rages, sow seeds of calm and openness to reconciliation. Strengthen the resolve of leaders and citizens to work for peace in their nations. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Healing God, come alongside all who are doubting, fearful, or suffering in any way. Today we pray especially for Jeff Adkins, Maxine Bachman, Janet Baldwin, Jan Bonick, Reverend Joseph Bonick, Dennis Belger, Heather and Julia Bryson, Janet Ballgreen, Harper Cataldo, Peggy Cole, Joanne DeTerry, Pastor Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher, Charles Downing, Susan Edgerton, Dale Edwards, Vicki Gonzalez, Kurt Coughlin, Joshua Laker, Lois Langoff, Joyce Long, Anne McCray, Morgan Mitchell, Grayson Morgado, Sherry Mosrak, Lois Pike, Natalie Raymond, Jason Sawyer, Faith Smith, Mike Smith, Steve Smith, Peggy Stockwell, and Joyce Wright. We pray for the AA and NA projects here at Our Savior, the Harbor for Youth and Renewal Christian Counseling. And Lord, please protect those serving our nation both at home and overseas, that they may return safely. Reveal to them your presence and assure them of the inheritance you have prepared for them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Giver of joy, let this assembly be a place of genuine love and mutual affection. Deepen our care for one another and help us to embody your forgiving and sacrificial love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Eternal One, we give thanks for saints who were faithful upon death and have joined the church triumphant. Inspire us by their witness and bring us with them into your glorious presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Peace. The peace of Christ is with you always.
And also with you. We have a few announcements. Today is the first radio broadcast on the new stations, 1450 AM and 105.5 FM. We still have time, or you still have time, to register or RSVP for the Refresh Retreat that's taking place here at Our Savior next Saturday, April 18th, from 9 to noon. We'll have breakfast and fellowship, hands-on, and message. Our April outreach ministries, we're continuing with a monetary collection for the Woodrow Wilson Elementary School, as well as non-perishable food drive for the Blue Water Food Depot. We have a box back in the back hallway. Thank you for your tithes and offerings. There's many ways of giving to our church to show your appreciation and to help us continue on here. Give in person or by mail or online. Merciful God, accept the fruits of our labor, gather to give you glory. You have blessed us with your abundance and set before us signs of your grace. Use the gifts we have received from you, our voices, our hands, and our very lives, that your goodness may reach a world in need. In the name of Christ, the firstborn from the dead, we pray.
Amen.
In our offering hymn, this is the feast.
Now let us together recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into the heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let us continue in prayer by reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now God Almighty, who is the beginning and end, Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, and the Spirit, our advocate and peace, bless you now and forever. Amen. Peace. Praise the Lord. Alleluia.
Amen.